Okay, brethren, let me ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. This morning we've come together to eat the Lord's Supper. And the only ones who are bid to come to the Lord's table are those born of the Spirit of God, whose hope is in Christ alone. Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, "We give thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, made us fit, complete, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And just as the Father, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, made us meet to be partakers of the heavenly inheritance right now, he's made us fit to come to his table." All the problems among the Corinthian brethren were because many, those born of the Spirit, many who were babes in Christ, were yet looking to, had their minds focused on carnal things. Carnal things. And when our minds are fixed on carnal things, it does, when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, it does one of two things. It makes us to prefer certain preachers over other preachers, is what they were doing, or it makes us to say, "I'm of Christ, I don't even need a preacher." That's carnal mindedness. Another thing it does is it makes us either excuse outward immoral lewd sin, and it makes us accuse one another for things we ought to excuse one another for. That's what carnal mindedness does. And they were bringing this same carnal-minded, fleshly attitude even to the Lord's table. And for this cause, not discerning the Lord's body in all things, and even in the at the Lord's table, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning Christ the Lord. He said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And yet his exhortation to them in the midst of all of that was, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and take of that cup." Not examine ourselves to see if there's a worthiness and a fitness in ourselves, in our flesh. That would be more of that same carnal mindedness. Not that. But examine ourselves to prove our own selves whether or not we truly are in the faith, truly trust in Christ our all. If Christ is made unto you of God through the Spirit wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, if he is truly all in you, to you, then he not only bids you come to this table, he commands you. You're not only free to come to it, he commands you to come to it. And when we come to it, if that's the case with you, then let us focus all our attention, all our mind, all our whole hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Discern his body. Meditate upon him. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." I want to focus your attention this morning on the Lord of the Supper. The Lord of the Supper. And I want to do so by looking at this. In the very things our Lord did, the very manner in which he gave us this ordinance, we behold how our Lord has actually made every believer complete in him. even in the manner in which he gave us this ordinance, we see what he has done and is doing for his people. Our text is 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 34. Let's read this together. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Now here's where we're focusing our minds this hour. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, let's look at verse 23, particularly what the Lord did. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, the Lord Jesus says to us here that the bread and the wine are symbolical representations of his body and his blood, his flesh and his blood. And as they were eating, the Lord Jesus took bread. He took it. This is the first thing we see. In the very manner in which our Lord gave us this ordinance, taking the bread, we behold that in order to redeem us, the Son of God took part of our flesh. He took a body. He took flesh. The Son of God, God who is Spirit, took part of flesh and blood. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Both he that sanctifieth, that's Christ, and they who are sanctified, that's you, the believer, are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. God is the sanctifier. The Son of God came and was made one with his children in flesh and blood, took that bread himself. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is to the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What, if you're in bondage, what does that mean? If you're in chains, what does that mean? It means you can't free yourself. You can't. This is why he took flesh. For look at verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, his elect, chosen children. He took on the seed of Abraham's true children. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And also that in himself that he suffered being tempted, he's able to succor or comfort them that are tempted. He's both a minister to God in the flesh, in his flesh, as a high priest, and a minister unto his people. All right, look back at our text, 1 Corinthians 11:24. It says, then, when he had given thanks, and when he had given thanks, this is the second thing, the entire person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he did and all that he is before God his Father was a thank offering to God as the representative and substitute of his people. He sat here at this table and representing all those that he had called to that table, he thanked God on their behalf for them. He is the thank offering to God. He is the true bread. He's the bread in whom is no leaven of sin. He's the only perfect faithfulness and fidelity of his Father, and the only perfect faithfulness and fidelity to his Father. The joy which was set before him by the Father before the world was made was his pleasure and his thankfulness. That's what Hebrews 12:1 says. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of honoring and magnifying his Father, the law of his Father. The joy of manifesting the righteousness of his Father. The joy of laying down his life to declare his Father, God, just and the justifier of all who believe. The joy of fulfilling his Father's will, which was to redeem a people from their sin, from all their bondage, from all their iniquity, in a holy and just way, and perfect them forever. And that will he gave to his Son. And he said it was his joy, it was his thankfulness, his whole life, everything about him, his whole person, was a thank offering to God for giving him the privilege to do that. This is what he said in Hebrews 10:5. When he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. No sacrifice, no offering from me or you. Hebrews 10:5. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure, no satisfaction, no eternal satisfaction was brought to God by any of those things. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, everything that was written in the law and the prophets, he said, was written of me. And he said, and lo, I come to do thy will, O God. It was the joy set before him. The thank offering of his heart, the blessing of his Father to do his Father's will. He walked this earth and he was walking along one day in the midst of a host of all these bright, smart folks who were just dead in trespass and sins. And he looked up and he said, Father, he rejoiced in the Spirit and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And as he offered himself, turn to John 17. As he offered himself, this was his prayer, this was all his desire. He is that bread. Just as he took this bread and he gave thanks, this was his prayer as he was offering himself. John 17, 1. I think this probably tells us something about that prayer he prayed when he thanked him for that physical bread. That bread that they were about to eat. But he's talking about himself. Listen to what his prayer was. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the only reason he wanted to be glorified, that he might glorify his Father. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And Philippians 2 tells us, and all that he did, all this thank offering that he is and that he performed unto his Father, literally in his person and in his work and in his thanksgiving unto his Father as in behalf of his people, he glorified the Father. And the scripture says, wherefore God also hath glorified him and given him a name which is above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He really is. God was pleased with his offering. All right, back in our text, 1 Corinthians 11:24. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. This is the third thing. Just as he himself broke the bread, this one we remember this hour, in this broken piece of unleavened bread, willingly gave his body to be broken in the place of those the Father gave to him. Here's the pinnacle of his faith. This is the pinnacle of his faith and his fidelity. This is the faith that our faith, God-given faith, rests in. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now this is where we see the height of his perfect faithfulness and fidelity to God. And this truly is what our faith lays hold of right here. Look over at Isaiah 50, verse 6. This is it. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Now listen now, here is this great height of faith. This is the faith in whom and by whom even the weakest of faith in the believer is never failing perfect faith. Here's how it is never failing perfect faith. This is his faithfulness. Look at verse 7. This is what he said. This is why he gave his willingly his back to the smiters. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Do you see him perfectly trusting his Father? He said, that's why I give my back to the smiters. You see those therefores? Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and therefore I know I shall not be ashamed. In John 10:17, he said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life. No man takes it from me, I lay it down of myself. The Father loves him because he completely, totally, thoroughly trusted his Father perfectly. And the action of that faith was, I give my body to be broken for your people. That's the heart he gives in a believer. We don't have it like he had it. We want to have it like he had it. This is a law he writes on our hearts. We want to have it. We want to trust our Father so perfectly and so faithfully that we know we can trust him to give our own selves even to those that will smite us and break our bodies. But we want to do it for him, for their good, for the good of them that oppose themselves. And we have that faith in a very weak manner. But it's perfect in this one who did it perfectly. All right, 1 Corinthians 11:24. Now, you remember now, think on what he did. He took bread. He partook of flesh and blood. And he gave thanks. He is the offering of thanksgiving to God for his people. And he broke that bread. He willingly gave his body for the body of his children. He gave his body for the body of his children. And then look at verse 24. And as he was administering this ordinance, he said to those sitting there with him at his table, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now here's the fourth thing we see in this. Christ Jesus is our life. You know, bread and wine is food. It's life. You stop eating your natural food and you're going to shrivel up to nothing and die. Christ Jesus is the bread from heaven, the nourishment of his people. That's what he said to us this morning when he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branches receive all its nutrient, all its nourishment from the vine. That's why it says, if you don't abide in me, you'll just wither away to nothing and you won't bear any fruit. Any fruit. Well, when he said to many in one day that he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven, he made this statement. He said, verily, verily. When our Lord says verily, verily, it means this is extremely important. And he said, verily, verily, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We were dead in trespasses and sins, completely dead in trespasses and sins. How's a dead man going to eat anything? He doesn't have any life in him to eat anything. And we didn't. But just like he said here, and he gave this bread and this wine to his disciples and said, take and eat. Christ Jesus sends forth the Spirit of life into those for whom he broke his body. And by his effectual command, through the word of this gospel, through his Spirit, he commands, take and eat. And when he enters in and there's life and he gives us this command, you know what we do? Just what his apostles did there. Just as easily, as freely, as willingly as his apostles sitting with him at that table. You know what they did? They took that bread and they took that wine and they ate it and they drank it. And when he commands this, we take Christ and we eat him and we drink him and he becomes our life and we live upon him. We feast upon him. We delight upon him all the rest of our days. And then when he gives us this hunger and this thirst for him, you know, when you've had filet mignon, Spam don't taste too good. And when you've got a taste of Christ. The chaff and the husk of this world and this world's religion, it just doesn't taste any good anymore. It just doesn't. Oh, this is it. We don't ever stop. We don't ever stop. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All right, look at verse 25. And after the same manner also he took the cup, which he, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Here's the fifth thing. Through his blood we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, look over to Isaiah 51 with me. I want you to notice here. He took the cup. While he was administering that, he took the cup, and it says, and when he had supped, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup of trembling. He took the cup of God's judgment that was the just due of every one of those children that God gave him. And when he had supped, when Christ Jesus drank every last dreg of the cup of the fury of God's wrath, instead of that bitter cup of wrath that was our due, he hands you this cup of wine. And he says, when you drink this sweet cup of wine, you remember that I've taken that bitter cup out of your hand and I've given you this good cup to drink from. Now look at verse 22 of Isaiah 51. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord. Don't you love that? Thus saith thy Lord, Christ Jesus, the Lord of hosts, God of heaven and earth, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Oh, boy. Hebrews 9. Let's go there just one second. How sure is this promise? How sure is this promise? Well, he said when he was given this ordinance, he said, this cup represents the New Testament in my blood. Now, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But when that blood is shed, there is remission of sins. And where there's remission of sins, there's no more offering for sin. Now look at what we who are called are promised. Look at verse 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, by his death, by his shedding of his own life's blood, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. You know what redemption means? It means payment. You ever pawned anything? When you go back to get it, you got to redeem it. You got to buy it back. You got to pay what's owed, buy it back. That's what he did. For all the transgressions that we owed, he came and he paid it. He paid it all. All the debt I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow with his own blood. And he says this, he did it that they which are called, given spiritual discernment to discern this glorious, great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That day when Moses was given that first covenant, that Mosaic covenant, that old covenant, that legal covenant, that was just a shadow and a picture and a type of what the righteousness of God and of the righteousness of Christ and of the faithfulness and fidelity of Christ and of everything Christ to come. That was the sum and substance of that law. To shut our mouths and to be a schoolmaster to bring us to he revealed faith in us to behold Christ the Lord. And he said this, when he gave that covenant, that first one, even then, he told Moses, he said, now you take the blood of bulls and of calves, of goats, and they made all these sacrifices, and they killed those. They all pictured Christ. They killed those, and they took the blood out of those. Blood, blood, blood. Blood, blood, blood. Blood, blood, blood. Blood's on every page of God's book. Blood is on every page of his book. Blood ought to be in every gospel message preached. If it ain't, there ain't no gospel in it. Blood. He sprinkled everything, the tabernacle and the testimony, the very law itself, everything. He sprinkled everything with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin, no putting away of sin, no purging of sin, no washing of sin without the shedding of blood. And he said to us, but those were patterns of heavenly things. And he says, those true things that he sanctifies, that he redeems, that he purchases, his own children, this law and this testimony, this word of God that he had to fulfill, he did all that by his own blood. And he fulfilled everything. When you know, we some of the Bibles have everything Christ said in red. You know, really and truly, everything in this book's written in red. It's written in his blood. Everything. This whole Testament's written in his blood, and that's how sure it is. God himself provided himself a sacrifice. And that's how sure as God is. As sure as God is. Well, now then, back in our text, 1 Corinthians 11:26. Now you examine yourselves right now. Is this broken body and this shed blood of Christ Jesus the Lord all your fitness for glory, all your hope, all the anchor of your soul, all your delight and rejoicing? Then the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. And look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And when we eat this bread and we drink this wine, just as they did that night at that supper, when he gave this ordinance, that bread and that wine is going to become one with us, isn't it? Well, even so, as one as Christ was made sin for you, you who are called by his grace, as one as Christ was made sin for you, you are made the righteousness of God in him. And as one as the Spirit dwells in us, we dwell in him. Inseparable union. And as one as our Lord, or as sure as our Lord is risen to glory, he shall return. The Old Testament said all through it, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Princes, his princes, they'll rule, they'll discern, they'll judge in judgment, truth and spirit. A man's going to be a covert from the storm, from the tempest, from the hail and from the rain. A man is. And the gospel says, he has come. Here he is. He's here. He's spoken to us by his Son. Here he is. And all the epistles tell us he's coming back. He's coming back. And he says here now, as we did in the ordinance of baptism, he commanded that ordinance. And you know what we did there? We declared publicly to everyone that we believe him. And he's all our hope. And we're risen with him. And we believe he's going to save. He's going to deliver us. And he says here, when you eat this bread and you drink this wine, you're publicly declaring the same thing. It's all my hope. All my hope. Well, those who trust him, you examine yourself, meditate on him, discern his body, and eat this bread. And those who don't take it. Don't take it. Nobody's going to be looking at you anyway. I'm not going to look at you. Nobody's going to be even noticing whether you take it or you don't. Don't have any shame in doing it. He said don't. So don't. But you who know him, he commands you, do it and rejoice and remember him. Now, to him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. All right.